I invite you today, if you have your Bibles, to turn to John. And follow along. And I'm going to begin reading from John 9:1. And this begins a passage where Jesus is going along his way. And he encounters a man. And the disciples are with him. Now, this is a time period where people blame other people for the sins of their parents. You know, it's funny when we don't take ownership for our own mistakes. And sometimes things just happen. They just happen. And when they just happen, that's when we need each other even more. When we need to trust God and know that God is walking with us. And that God's going to put people in our lives to walk along with us. That's what being part of the family of God is all about. To hold each other up. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging said, "Isn't this the same man who used to beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud. He put it on my eyes. He told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where's the man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. "I don't know." You see, He started out life not being able to see. There's a lot of things in life that we just don't know. And we're searching and searching and searching for answers. Do you ever feel like that? Like you're wandering around and just not knowing? Sometimes it's not a physical, sometimes it's mental. You're looking for a path. Sometimes that path deviates. Sometimes you're going one way and all of a sudden the road turns another direction. It happens. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. It's funny how that happens. The good folk, right? There's lots of good folk in this world. And the best folk you sometimes can't agree. And finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he's our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can now see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." Second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." And he replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. You are a disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but this fellow, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, who could do nothing?" To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Spiritual blindness. It's a hard thing to hear. So many times, we get in our own way. And Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found the man, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God, the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment, I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would be guilty of sin. But now you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The Word of God. So often, we get set in a path, going one way. Sometimes we can't see what's right in front of us, or we think we know what's right in front of us, because we've always done it that way, right? And sometimes we forget what history has taught us, those who are scholars of history. Forget what sometimes history has taught us. And yet, when things happen like this, what this man has been through his entire life, he would have been dependent on so many people. For the synagogue would have deemed him unclean. In other words, if he were part of the church of that time, they would have thought of him as unclean. And they would not have allowed him to participate. That's horrible, right? I mean, I like to think that we have progressed further than that today. And our laws are different today, of course. But yet, here we are in the 21st century. And yet we still have barriers to a whole lot of things. But let's stop and think about who Jesus is calling today. It's not just men. It's not just women. It's not just white folks. It's not just folks of color. It's folks with all kinds of abilities and of all kinds of skills. The church today if you were to stop and think about the church today, might look a little bit different than the church of 50 years ago. Maybe even of 100 years ago. If it were 100 years ago, we might even be still stoking the fires to get it warm in here, right? And if it were 100 years ago, we ladies would all be wearing our hats today and our gloves, right? Men would all be wearing suits because that would be the dress code of the day. Things are different. And for good reason. Jesus calls us to come as we are, to believe. Now let's think about the lighted path. The path that we are called to come and shine the light on. Jesus says that he is the light of the world. And he calls us to a path. Now, this past week, and I was watching the news today, there are still thousands of people without electricity in their homes, just from the storm. I know it flickered at my house, and I know some of the folks on the other side of town had been without power. And yet, we're so dependent on that electricity. And I wonder how many people picked up a phone and checked on somebody. Made sure that everybody was okay. I know that Giant Eagle is offering people without power, water, and ice, helping out their neighbor, shining a little bit of light in the world. In the old days, that light wouldn't have come from electricity. That light would have come from burning a candle. And if you've ever been in the darkness, you would know how desperately the world needs to follow light. Can't imagine what it would be like to be blind. Of course, if that's all you ever knew, perhaps you'd be just fine with that. And I guess, and from what I'm told, your other senses become very heightened. You learn to depend on your sense of hearing, your sense of touch, on those that are around you to help guide you. Do we depend on the light of the world to help guide us? As those who are Christ followers, we're called to depend on Jesus to direct our path. Yesterday, the bishop was in our area, and she reminded us to take our passion and follow that passion, if we had the ability to take our passion, the ones that we had been equipped with, and to utilize that for the church, what would it be? To dream that dream that God had given us and to follow that path, to seek others who have the same dream. Because if you don't dream those dreams, do you know what happens to the church? The building dies. But the light of Christ never does. We have a terrific committee that's been dreaming a dream, that's been following a path and inviting others into that dream lately, and inviting others to come along on that journey, lighting a path. And you know what's funny? Cars have headlights. And they have taillights too, but the taillights are red. They don't really point to what's behind them. They just make it so you can see what's in front of you. The headlights, though, direct your path so you can see where you're going. That's the good light. What kind of light are you projecting? Are you following the light of Christ? Because Christ is projecting a light. And are we following that light to see where Christ is going down the path? Ephesians says this today. In fact, Ephesians 8:14 reminds us, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Well, Christ is shining. He has a path for each and every person here. Just like headlights shining. There are new and wonderful things. And there are things going on. Come and see. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this light that comes in the darkness. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. We thank you for this opportunity to know that there is this wonderful triune God that we have come to worship. that you make all things new. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.